The Style Writer can handle envelopes, transparencies, and all kinds of paper. And it takes advantage of True Type to give you crisp text at any size. It won't make much of a dent in your wallet, and it won't take a lot of space on your desk or anywhere else.
Welcome to the Holcast Seatbass 30 Plus Minute Album Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Lash. Joining me today, the only thing harder than his knuckles is his liver. The founder of Cult to Mac, Leander Caney, is here. Also with us, he's got a sharp wit and a soft sigh. He's the managing editor of Cult to Mac, Lewis Wallace, is here.
Hey, soft sigh. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was queuing you up to give us one of those beautiful soft sighs, and you let me down big time. Oh, there it is. I feel so relaxed now. I'm feeling good. Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this show. There's all sorts of news to cruise through. Here's what we're doing. We're going to be talking about Apple's October hardware event. Leander doesn't even believe that it's going to happen. But I've got some absolutely undeniable proof that we've got an October event queued up. And in fact, I think I even know what date it's going to be.
Whoa.
So we'll be talking about that. And we'll also be telling you about what we expect, the hardware expectations we have for that event coming down the line. And then also, it was a big week for Microsoft. I don't know. I mean, look, I wasn't like hanging off the Microsoft announcement or anything, but then I saw what they announced and I was greatly intrigued. There is some seriously cool science fiction-y type stuff that Microsoft is working on, and I thought at the very least we could touch on some of the cool products that they announced, some of the, I want to call them experimental, because I think they kind of are experimental. It doesn't really seem like Microsoft quite knows what to do with some of this stuff. It's like the Apple Watch when it first launched. They're putting it out there, and they're going to see what happens with it. But there is some cool stuff that's out there. They also have some AirPods competitors that... You know, this is what makes Microsoft lovable. I mean, they do look cool, but... they also kind of look like plugs. So, you know, we should talk about it. It's a tech show. We'll talk about it. Let's see here. Before we dive in, let me give a very hearty thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode, squarespace.com/cultcast. If you're ready to get started with a website, you can now manage your website from your phone or your tablet from the Squarespace app. Whether you need to publish a blog post, update your business hours, or add an announcement bar to your online store, you can do it all within the app and do it on the go. You can edit your pages and know that if you go offline unexpectedly, your work will be preserved. When you reconnect, you can easily pick right up where you left off. And the Squarespace app has that look and feel you already know, so it's easy to transition to working from your computer to the mobile device and back and forth. Also, if you're looking to learn more about your site's stats, you can download the Squarespace Analytics app. It gives you all these metrics and insights about your website. And if you're running your own online store, you can download the Squarespace Commerce app to fulfill orders, manage your product inventory, and resolve customer issues. They got it all. They got it all for you. Squarespace's apps are beautifully designed, powerful, and easy to use. You can try them out for free, too. Well, the apps are free. All you got to do is go to squarespace.com/cultcast and get a website set up, and then download the apps, take them for a spin, see how you like them. You got nothing to lose, Lewis. Come on. If you like their service at the end of the trial, you can use code CULTCAST to get 10% off your first purchase at squarespace.com/cultcast. The code to use is CULTCAST. It couldn't be easier to remember. Even Alex E. Heath could remember that, Lewis. Well,
what's the checkout code again?
What's the code? He did forget to give me his audio file one time, and well, that's a whole story that we're not going to tell right now. Let's see here. Let's start with this little tidbit. Leander was like, what is this story? Uh-huh. Actually, Lewis, you were like, what is the story? Why are you even going to bring this up? Well, I'll tell you, this is going to cue us up for our Apple October hardware event discussion, okay?
All right.
Apple will announce its final 2019 earnings on October 30th. Boring, right? No one cares about that story, right? Here's why this is interesting. October 30th is a Wednesday. In the last, I believe, 5 years, the only time Apple has not had their financial call on a Tuesday is when they had a hardware announcement in the same week.
Ooh. Wow.
That was your mind. I just scrambled it, didn't I?
Interesting clue.
Well, now I have to give, well, at least some kind of credit to the analyst that I saw who dropped this on Twitter. And I actually am embarrassed to say I don't remember what his name was. Ooh. I was looking on my Twitter. I was trying to find it. He was the one that made this point. So I can't take credit for this bit of thinking. But in the last 5 years, they haven't had an announcement on Wednesday unless they had a product announcement in that same week. So that's why I wanted to bring this up. This it seems to confirm the fact that we're getting a October hardware event. Plus, even if you didn't know this, we kind of have to get an October hardware event just because of the Mac Pro. They said the Mac Pro was coming in the fall. There is no way they're going to launch that without a press event, right? No way. They've got to do a press event to talk about that. And the XDR display, they'll probably give us some more insight into what the product is going to be able to do. They can't just do a soft launch of that. What do you think about that, Lewis? Soft launch on the Mac Pro? No.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Certainly seems like they would want to give that as big of a showcase as possible, but I don't know. I was just saying, you know, we were discussing this. It's like, geez, it's getting kind of late if they're actually going to have it. But if they had it, like, right about then, you know, geez, it could even be Halloween-themed.
Ooh! Spooky. I hope Tim Cook comes dressed as a ladybug. That'd be so cool. Doesn't he just look like he'd make the cutest ladybug?
Oh, my God. Little antennae.
What would Phil Schiller be? He'd be like that. Oh, touche. Bob Mansfield would be like that that giant blob from the Mucinex commercial.
I don't think I've seen that.
No.
I'm not sure. I want to Google it.
it fits in perfectly. So let's start off with our first hardware expectation/prediction here, Lewis. Kick us off.
Yeah, so if there is that big Apple October event, one of the things we think we probably are going to see is a supercharged Apple TV device. There's a couple reasons why we're expecting that, and one is that Apple Arcade just launched the gaming subscription service, and that could certainly work better with a more powerful Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Plus, Apple TV Plus, God, I hate that name. The new subscription video service, that's launching November 1st. So, you know, this would be a great opportunity for Apple to roll out new set-top box. The last one came out September 22nd, 2017. That's just over 2 years ago, for those of you without calendar apps. So that actually makes a lot of sense, too, for your comment on the timing. Like, if they actually had it on the 29th, that's a great opportunity for them to beat the drum again about Apple TV Plus, and God knows they haven't been shy about doing that so far. So I think you might be on something here.
My entire Twitter timeline is filled with Apple TV ads. Finally, I pressed that please don't show me that ad again button.
Wow. Tim Cook heard a klaxon go off.
Every time I scroll, every three or four tweets, it's a freaking Apple TV ad.
Wow.
Every single time. Yeah. And, I don't even know why they're advertising it as much as they are, because they're basically giving the entire thing away for free. I just saw I'm kind of going on a tangent here. I'll keep this short. I just saw a article. I forget who the publication was, and they said, well, Netflix isn't worried about Apple stealing customers or anything, because most people who use Netflix aren't planning on leaving Netflix to go to Apple TV Plus. I'm like, well, yeah, but that's the genius of what Apple's doing. They're going to give it to you for free. They're gonna hook you slowly. They already know that you're paying for Netflix. That's why they're just going to give it to you. And then in a year's time, maybe you'll like their content enough that you'll start to pay for it, which is why their strategy is so smart. Okay, so let's talk about 16-inch MacBook Pro, which we've talked a lot about. Ming-Chi Kuo said it was probably coming this year, according to Supply Chain Reports. This was surprising. According to Supply Chain Reports, it's going to have the same 9th-gen Intel Coffee Lake CPU as the current 15-inch MacBook Pro, which I guess isn't surprising. If it's coming soon, that's the most current processor there is. It's the new 8-core processor, which came out, of course, right after I bought my MacBook Pro with only a measly 6 cores. It's going to have a larger 16-inch screen, which fits into the same size body as the current MacBook Pro. Ming-Chi Kuo had spoken earlier about how this is going to be a total redesign, and now I kind of wonder if that's still true. It sounds like, from all the evidence, that, well, maybe redesign, maybe I'm thinking about that in the wrong way. The body might look the same, but it's going to be redesigned components, so different screen, different keyboard. It's going to have most likely a liquid retina display, so it has the rounded corners, right, with a larger screen, smaller bezels. And then also, I'm sure many of you will be happy to hear this, we're moving away from the butterfly keyboards into a new Apple-designed scissor mechanism keyboard, which are probably going to be quieter. They're also going to be not as shallow, which I'm excited about because I really don't like how shallow the current keyboards are. So a whole new keyboard, whole new screen, and that's going to be enough right there. Those two things right there are enough to take my nips to half mass. We'll see
get one?
Well, it depends now, doesn't it? I mean, they said the base price was going to be $3,000. And that's for 4 gigabytes of RAM and a 16-gigabyte SSD. So if you want to upgrade it from there, you know this thing's going to be insanely expensive. Right. But if they spec it out like they did with the iMac Pro, and for the price they actually give you decent memory and a decent SSD, then yeah, I'll definitely upgrade. In fact, I have money set aside for it. I'm not going to buy any more floating DeLoreans. I'm on hold at the moment.
Saving up, huh? Okay.
I'm on hold, waiting to see what they do. In fact, I went to the Apple store and I spent some time with the Series 5 Apple Watch, and I almost bought it.
Don't get too close.
Leander, you did not talk up that feature, the always-on display, nearly enough. It's when they say that the display dims, that's kind of not totally true. Parts of the display dim, but the clock part still stays just about as bright as it does when the Apple Watch Series 4 is on. So it's a dramatic change. It makes it way easier to see your watch. In fact, it's so dramatic that I almost just bought one, but I had to cool my jets because I just spent all my money on the floating DeLorean. And then I realized we've got this Apple event coming up. They haven't announced it yet, of course, but we know it's coming. At least we believe it's coming. And I got to wait to see what they're going to do with this MacBook Pro. I mean, this thing's going to cost me, unless I can get one of our listeners to give me another 25% off, which those are harder to come by. We have some very generous listeners who have hooked me up with discounts in the past, but they only get one Mac 25% off a year, so they have to be certain that they're not going to use it to give it to me, right?
Right.
So it's kind of a hard sell, but if I can get that 25% off, I'll definitely buy it. Otherwise, I'll just go with the 15% off that some of our very generous listeners have offered me, and, you know, we'll see how much it costs, though. So that is the 16-inch MacBook Pro. The other big one, of course, and this is probably the other reason why it's almost certain that Apple's going to have an event in October, and that is the Mac Pro with the XDR display and that beautiful $1,000 XDR display stand, which is the same cost as Microsoft's new Surface X computing tablet. So you can either get the tablet, the ultralight computing tablet, or the stand. I think that there is valid arguments to be made for each. And we got to see what the Mac Pro can do. I know they've already shown us some of the information about the Mac Pro and the XDR display, but there's more to see. I mean, they're selling a $10,000 computer. They got to show us more than they've showed us. They just teased us a little bit. Phil Schiller, you just did a little tease on us, Lewis. But we gotta get the full story there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a press release is going to suffice, does it?
No way.
not for a big product like this. No, they'll have to get some developers out to show what it can do, right?
That's a great point. They're going to have to do some demos, huh?
Yeah, they'll have, you know, Photoshop running on it and, you know, some video apps probably. You know, they'll have a bunch of pro stuff, I'm sure.
On the other hand, how many of these are they going to make and sell?
That's a good question. I mean, enough that they are still devoting ample resources towards it, and they're charging enough for it that even if they don't sell very many, they're still going to make a decent profit on it.
I guess they wouldn't mind getting the word out and selling a couple more.
Yeah. If they were really smart and they want to sell a bazillion of these things, what they need to do is bring out that guy. Who was that guy with like that white jumpsuit? Who was that guy? Leander, you knew him, didn't you? Didn't you used to work with him?
Yeah. Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was his name Mitchell?
Yes.
Still is.
Yeah, with that white jumper. All he's got to do is put on that jumper and come out and do the demo. Boom. Right. That's like 1,000 units. Just
we haven't
right
seen
there
him for a while.
Unfortunately not. I got to say, I know a lot of people are happy about all the different people they're bringing up on stage, and I know Apple's trying to like show their junior varsity team. I kind of miss the old team. You know, I miss Phil. I miss seeing Bob Mansfield. I miss Hair Force. It's like, that's the classic team. All those guys who are directly linked to Steve Jobs. Those are the guys that I really enjoy seeing the most on stage. And you bring out a lot of these people. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they do. They don't have the same panache as Phil Schiller does. They don't have the presence that Hair Force does. Is it just me? I mean, it's a show, right? We're out there to watch a show, and they're bringing out all these actors.
Big C-list and D-list.
You don't want the opening stars. Act. You want a big band reunion.
Yeah. And it's hard to be up there on stage and be natural and have your jokes land without coming off as artificial. I get that. There's millions of people watching. And so when you have these junior people out there, they're inexperienced and they're not as good as presenting. So it just comes off being a little synthetic, in my opinion. Anyway, that's another tangent. I just miss the old team. I miss the old squad. Okay, where are we? iPad Pro, Leander. Oh, no, iMac and iMac Pro. Sorry, I'm handing it back to you.
Right, yeah, both of those are due for an upgrade, the iMac and the iMac Pro. The iMac was last given a spec bump in March when it received Intel 9th generation CPUs and faster Radeon graphics. But the last major refresh was June 2017. That's 600 days ago.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, so time for that to get refreshed. And the iMac Pro was announced in December 2017, and it's only been given one refresh where it got some new RAM and Radeon Pro graphics options, and that's been 658 days since it was unveiled. So both of those are getting pretty long in the tooth.
Don't hear much about the iMac Pro these days.
No, actually, yeah, I was just going to say.
Kind of forgot about it.
Right.
658 days. Wow.
Well, do you think it's going to stick around if they have a new Mac Pro?
Well, wouldn't they release it with like that look? Give it that kind of a chassis? Ooh.
What, the iMac Pro?
Yeah. Are those same look as the monitor? I don't know.
It's definitely sticking around. That thing's not going anywhere. People love that machine, and if you're not going to get a Mac Pro, your only other option for a power PC, so to speak, is the iMac Pro. So that thing's not going anywhere. But they definitely need to upgrade it and make it a little bit more current for the price they're charging for it. You know, it needs to have cutting edge hardware, and hopefully they're not going to just let it sit there and languish like they have, like the Mac Mini or something. Even though that was just updated, it took like 12 years. Okay, iPads, Leander, tell us about the iPads.
Yeah, the iPad Pro. So the iPad Pro got a total overhaul in 2018, but only a spec bump and smaller changes. Let's start that again. So the iPad Pro, it got a total overhaul in 2018, so probably it's only going to get a small spec bump and some smaller changes likely in the works for this year. Probably the A13X Bionic chip. And probably the new triple lens camera system.
Triple lens camera system.
Because that's critical be easy on your to carry iPad. Around.
It is. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I do find that a little bit puzzling. I don't know why you'd want such a, you know, sophisticated camera on an iPad. I mean, I guess people do. You know, I mean, you do see people taking pictures of
their
iPads.
Well, look, it's my mom's computer and her camera, and I can't tell you how many family photos I have of my kids where I'm taking a picture of them, and then my mom is in front of them with her iPad. You know, like she's constantly getting in my way with her iPad to take pictures. So for her, for her, it's going to be great because now she can, you know, zoom in, zoom out, all the things that she can't do currently on her iPad. So I think that actually might be pretty useful.
I've used it. I use the iPad camera mainly for taking pictures, like a document, scanning things and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
but not for pictures of the kids and stuff like that. But you know, I don't know.
It could be pretty cool for AR purposes.
Well, I was
going to
say AR, right? Yeah, for AR. And we actually Ian, our video guy in Chicago, he just got a dummy one of these sent over from China. So he's going to be making a hands-on video talking about what it's going to be like. So look for that.
And it's got the triple lens or what?
The iPad?
Yeah, but it's not. Oh, it's a non-working dummy, of course. You know, so
we got a lot of those here at Cult of Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention any names, but right.
I hear one left and went to Business Insider there.
He's got the information now.
Oh, that's right. He moved again. Okay, so that's the iMac Pro. I would love to get my hands on the beautiful curves of that iMac Pro, but $5,000, it's hard too. I'm so much of a laptop guy. I would love to have something that's more powerful, and I almost decided to go with an iMac Pro, this last iteration, instead of the MacBook Pro. But there are so many instances where I just want to take my work with me, or I get tired of sitting in the Cult Command Center. I want to go inside my house and like work in front of the TV or something. So it's kind of nice just to have a laptop, you know. The iMac Pro is just so not portable. You gotta take that thing with you. It's not a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
unless you're that meme from that guy who went to Starbucks with it. I guess know what I'm talking about.
All right, yeah.
Oh, you can do it, right?
It is portable, technically.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that heavy. Well, how much does it weigh? 15 pounds, maybe. You could definitely do it. Okay, let's see here. Before we talk about the rest of the stuff, let's see here. We got the okay. We got the Apple Tag. We have the new AirPods. We have the Apple over-the-ears headphones. Before we do that, though, Lewis, people have the new iPhones. They're looking for a case, right? There's not a whole lot of cases out there yet, and I think that we have one that people might want to hear about.
Yeah. You know, you spent all this money on your brand new phone, and what's the last thing you want to do? Cover it up with like some giant, I don't want to name names, OtterBox, but you know,
you caught me off guard there.
You know, some giant encasement. No, you want something really thin and you know, so you can actually see it. I mean, last week, what, we were talking like for 5 minutes or something, just gushing about the way that the back of that thing looks, right? And so what do you want to do? You don't want to cover it up. You do want to probably put it in a case. And so there's this company called Minimal Case. I guess it's pronounced Minimal, but it's spelled M-N-M-L. They create these clear cases for the iPhone, and they got them for the iPhone 11 and the Pro and the Pro Max. They're barely visible. They're so thin, but they still provide protection. You know, they keep that glass case from getting scuffed up, scratched up, and, you know, God forbid, broken. They got, you know, perhaps best of all, no branding, completely branding free. And they got precise cutouts that, you know, allow every, you know, the sound to come out of the speakers, for instance, and the everything exactly right. And there's also a tiny little lip that provides protection to, you know, for the giant camera on the back of the Pro models, right? Mm-hmm. So these things typically go for $27, but right now, since you're a CultCast listener or a Cult of Mac reader, you can get one for 35% off that price. And what is that? You know, I'm not good with math, but I'm guessing that's around $17.50.
Oh my goodness!
$17.55 is what Google tells me. So that's a pretty good deal. If you want something, I mean, personally, I really like the thin case. So Minimal is it's an inexpensive one. It comes in a couple different colors, but you know, clear might be the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Right, I like a clear case too.
Well, you forgot the most important part, Lewis, which is the URL
Oh, you want me to read that URL? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, this is how much time do we have?
We can just say this first. I'm going to put it in the show notes. If you want to check it out, you got to go to this specific URL if you want the discount. Otherwise, you're going to be paying full price.
Well, I think that you could maybe just go to their website and use the code Cult of Mac.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, then
I'm not 100% sure. That supposedly works, but also you could use the link that we're going to. I'm going to read it. It's mnmlcase.com/discount/cultofmac.
That's not that bad.
It's not the worst.
mnmlcase.com/discount/cultofmac. It will be in the show notes too. And a lot of people don't know this. You can see the show notes in your podcast app if you want to check them out, and the link will be right there. All you got to do is click it with your thumb. What I like about this case is, and I say this all the time, I like cases that accentuate or enhance the design of your iPhone or get out of the way completely.
Exactly.
Right? I don't want to have some huge, ugly plastic case that goes over your iPhone. I just don't understand why people do that. I don't understand. It's like
wrapping a Porsche in bubble wrap.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to do that. No. You want it
to accentuate the beauty of your phone.
And it is a beautiful phone.
It's the most beautiful iPhone ever made.
Yeah. So
it's like Johnny Ive crafted it custom just for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you don't want to...
And as you were like unwrapping it, he was just like rubbing your shoulders. You got the full experience.
It's actually true that, just last week when we were talking about it, and we were like, oh, yeah, let's... So I took it out of the case, and I looked at it, and it's like, gosh, that is beautiful. And I realized, I popped the iPhone XS that I got to send back. I popped it out of its case. I'm like, geez, I've had this thing for a year, and I've only looked at the back of it a couple of times. Because it's always in a case. And,
played yourself.
Some of the cases, mm-hmm. Like a nice leather case or something, it can look great, too. But, it's kind of nice to be able to actually see the beautiful design.
Well, then every single iPhone that you have looks the same as the one before it, because the Apple leather cases always look the same.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Yeah, I it's not for me. It's not for me. I don't like it. All right, so thank you for that, Lewis. check out the minimal cases.
They are. And I think I left this out. These things are super thin, 0.35 millimeters. That's how thick it is, 0.35 millimeters.
Wow. That's only
gossamer thin.
That's like four times the width of a human hair.
It's crazy.
I'm not sure if that's accurate, but it sounds accurate, doesn't it?
It does not sound accurate.
Okay, well.
That's what's important. Okay. Let me wrap these up here, and then we can talk about Microsoft, because as per usual, we're running way mega long. So let's see here. Where were we? Oh, that's right. Apple Tag paired with that big, beautiful, bold U1 wideband chip in the iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro. This tag is going to allow you to attach it to your keys, to your wallet, to your golf clubs if you misplace those. And then with that U1 chip, it will literally show you what direction the tag is and how far away you are from it. This is going to be really cool technology once they actually get this whole thing worked out and released. First, they got to actually announce that the tags exist and then start selling them. and then we'll be good. What?
We're talking about things that they might show off at the Apple event, right? I mean, yeah. I that was such a fast whiplash. Sorry, I just want to make sure I was on the same page.
Yeah, we're still there. Yeah, we're still there. We're still on the same topic.
Okay.
45 minutes later. The other one is Apple's over-the-ears headphones. Now, this is probably a long shot, I fully admit, but Bloomberg had a report a while back that Apple was developing a pair of premium over-the-ear headphones, and they would launch in 2019. Well, they're running out of time. That would mean that these would be Apple-branded because they're premium, so they must not be Beats then, huh?
Oh, another sick burn.
Sick burn on Dr. Dre. I'm probably a dead man. He's gonna send Suge Knight after me. The last thing I'm going to see is a red jumpsuit. I'm going to be thrown off a balcony somewhere. And then the other thing I want to mention, this was really cool, AirPods 3 with focus mode.
Yeah.
And crazy. This was confirmed in the iOS. God, this keeps happening. The iOS 13.2 beta came out for developers. They're installing it. And one of the things that they started to notice was that there was a reference to these new AirPods in there, and there was actually a glyph for the new AirPods. I don't know if they're the AirPods 3 or some other model of AirPods, but if you haven't seen the glyph, the picture, it shows them with the soft interchangeable tips rather than the entirely hard plastic form factor that we have now. And the other thing is they're supposed to have this feature called focus mode, which I don't know if that has something to do with the sound isolation of the actual tips themselves or if this is like a software feature. I hope it's software because like Leander and I discussed, I don't know, a while back, one of the things that we like about the AirPods is that you can still hear the ambient noise around you. That's one of the things I love about them. So I wouldn't want them to just toss on some foam tips that are sound isolating and then call that focus mode. I would want it to be something that, that you can activate in the phone, which would actually be really cool if you could just use your AirPods as you normally would. And then when you're trying to focus, let's say you're trying to read something, but your total maniac kids are screaming at the top of their lungs for hours at a time.
Just for example.
And you just are, you're just dying for some peace, and your Apple Watch keeps telling you that you're going to have hearing damage. My oldest daughter once screamed so loud in my face that my ears were ringing for like 3 or 4 minutes afterwards. She's like,
was it like that scene in Saving Private Ryan when he's on the beach and it's all.
So I hope that it allows you to turn that feature on and off. I think that covers all of the hardware. I think it's pretty much everything that we're probably going to see. I think some of this stuff is more realistic than others.
Right, I was going to say, we're not going to get all of this, are we? There's no way.
Well, I don't know.
It's pretty
it could
long
just
list.
Be a hardware extravaganza. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's they're preparing for Christmas. They're preparing for the holidays, right? Everyone's giving gifts. And Tim Cook, he wants you to throw a couple ducats his way over the holidays. That's what he wants for Christmas.
Yeah, well, they better get their skates on.
Exactly. That's what he told Santa. So it's a possibility they might just dump a whole bunch of hardware on us, but I think it's all but confirmed that we're going to have an October hardware event. Okay, that covers the Apple stuff. I can't believe I'm saying this, but let's talk about Microsoft's stuff now. Because there was a lot in here. I mean, like I said, I wasn't glued to the keynote event that they had, which, by the way, was a little weird because it was in a small room, and the I think it's their head hardware guy, I think his name is Panos Panay, which is a great name. It sounds like a Roman gladiator name. He was walking out into the audience while he was giving this presentation. Doesn't that just make you feel uncomfortable immediately? He's not like on the stage, but he's like out there right in front of you, like showing you the product and talking to you.
I thought it was masterful.
Really?
Yeah. I honestly was sitting there in Slack while watching something. I was going, God, this guy, he reminded me of Steve Jobs. The way that he just, you know, it was so personal and so kind of low key, you know.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have this like fake enthusiasm. He was just like, you know, this is really profound.
I thought just walking out into the audience, just it just made me uncomfortable. That's all I'm trying to say.
I thought it was pretty awesome. I don't know how I've missed this guy. Maybe it's because I never watch Microsoft events, but I thought that the size of it was really, you know, pretty small and surprising.
Very intimate, yeah.
But I don't know. I was just kind of mesmerized by that guy.
Huh. Boy. Cool. I mean, he was dressed to kill. He had a great shirt on.
It was just,
and he had the skinniest jeans that I've ever seen. I was actually slightly envious.
Did you have the sound on?
When I was listening to the Surface thing?
Yeah.
No, I watched it on silent.
Like Leander. I mean,
I always like to watch my keynotes on silent so I can just guess what they're talking about.
There was also just something about the pacing of it. You know, he was really deliberate and not rushing through, you know, like that last Apple thing. I mean, I felt like I was in a pinball machine, you know, like here's this thing, here's that thing. And everybody's energetic and wow. This guy, he was just kind of like, look at this.
Uh-huh.
This is astonishing. I was impressed.
That was a good impression, actually, of what happened.
Were you impressed with the products, too?
They looked interesting, for sure. You know, I mean, it's all Microsoft stuff, but, you know, they had a nice folding thing that looked pretty interesting.
Okay,
I guess we're
going to
talk all about it, right?
Yeah, let me run through some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, give us the rundown.
So what we're talking about, the folding things, the Surface Neo, which is like a folding tablet, and then the Surface Duo, which is like a smaller version of the Neo, but is also a folding phone. And those were the two things that I thought were like a glimpse of the science fiction future that we might be headed to. And there was some other stuff in here that was actually really cool that we should just touch on just so you kind of know what is out there. And if your head is spinning after I go through all this because you're like, I don't remember the names of any of these products, Dude, I have been trying to remember these products for 2 days. I've been spending time researching these things. Everything is called Surface, and then it follows with the actual name. And there's so many Surface products now that it's very confusing. It would be like if Apple named everything iPad and then the actual name of the product after that. The iPad MacBook Pro, the iPad iPhone, the iPad Mac Pro. It's like, whoa. They need to work on their they need to work on their naming conventions. But first things first, I'm going in order of most not exciting to most innovative. So first, the Surface Laptop 3, which is basically just an updated Surface Laptop. But the thing that I thought was cool about it is, A, how is Apple letting them get away with this? I don't know. They got a magnetic charger. They got a magnetic charger on the Surface Laptop 3, the one feature that defined a generation of MacBook Pro computers.
You mean like MagSafe?
And it's gone now.
Magnetic connector?
Yes.
Dang it. Why can't we have one of those?
You know what happened the other day, Lewis? My daughter, I heard a thud. and then I didn't say anything right away. And then I went to talk to my wife, and I said, what was that thud? And she said, oh, a computer dropped on the ground. I was like, what are you, a computer dropped on the ground? She was trying to hide it from me. What? My daughter was pushing her stroller, her baby stroller full of babies, past where my MacBook Pro is charging. And somehow the stroller caught the cable on the MacBook Pro, dragged it off the table, crashing onto the floor below. Because the MagSafe is gone. And thankfully, it looks like the computer's fine. It didn't even have a mark on it. I think it just landed on the shag rug. But it seemed like it also hit the hardware, right? You could say that twice. I have a vacuum that I keep in my house. It's like from the 1970s. It has a shag rug setting.
Oh, really?
It's the only reason I keep that vacuum in my house is because it has a shag rug setting. So also this Surface Laptop 3 has an AMD Ryzen CPU built in that I guess was like a collaboration with Microsoft helped architect this CPU and GPU combination. So it's supposed to be fairly powerful. They also have a new Surface Pro 7, which is like a convertible type laptop. Well, it's like a tablet that you could snap a keyboard onto. And it added USB-A, USB-C, and has a new lower starting price. People like the Surface Pro. It's a somewhat popular computer in the convertible space. It's a really popular model. If you've never heard of it, you probably have if you're looking for a Windows convertible. And then the other new computer, the Surface Pro X. This is a brand new computer, and it is a super thin design. It's running on an ARM chip. So it was custom built to run on this ARM chip. It weighs 1.6 pounds, has built-in LTE. It's kind of like Microsoft's version of the iPad Pro. And it has this really slick keyboard that has a folding hinge that has a built-in pen. So you can unfold it, and all of a sudden there's like this pen built into it. And then also it's supposed to have crazy good battery life. So if you're looking for something that has great battery life, but also good performance, this might be something that you gravitate towards.
What's crazy good battery life?
I forget what the numbers were. I think it was 12 hours in their test. It was 12 hours, but who knows how they were testing it.
And
go ahead.
Well, go on. But don't a couple of these tablets, they don't run full Windows 10. They're running a custom version of it, which is going to cause complications, right?
In fact, I think the Surface Pro 10 runs a hybrid version of Windows, but that actually might be the Surface Neo that runs the hybrid. No, that's the Surface Neo that runs the hybrid version of Windows 10. I think the Surface Pro X, thank you, is just a regular version of Windows 10.
13
running
hours.
Running on ARM.
All day. What's battery that? Life with a rated runtime of 13 hours.
13 hours. Okay, there you go.
But then,
yeah.
Well, then, but then the folding one isn't going to be available for at least a year, right?
Well, yeah, they're not even launching until 2020.
And that seems, what the heck? I mean, why would they? It seems like they've undermined their, you know, this launch event by talking about, you know, this product that's not going to come out for a year, and that was the one that got the most attention. And everything else kind of got, buried, right? And the coverage.
Well, that's what I thought too. But then, the more I read about this, the more I thought about this, the more it makes sense. First of all, they want to get your beard wet on this technology, right? People are talking about it. Buster, he texted me. He said his beard has been very moist for days. So there's that. But the other thing is they need developer support. So they need to start tantalizing developers and getting developers interested in customizing their apps for a dual screen display, because it's a different paradigm. You have to build your app in a different way to support two screens. There are all these interactions that they have built into the system to move your app from one screen to another. If you click on a link, does it open on the first screen or the second screen? So this is the stuff that developers have to start working out, which is why I think they may have announced it early.
Yeah, gotcha.
So let's talk about the Surface earbuds, because I actually thought these looked really cool. Even the
really,
figuratively, the actual look I thought was somewhat wacky and slightly goofy. I'll leave it to you guys to go Google the Surface earbuds. They look like giant, like ear gauges. You know those gauges that people sometimes have in their ears. They're massive.
But
they're
instead like of in your earlobe, it's like right directly in your ear.
Yeah, right. They look like those pegs that come off of Frankenstein's neck, except you have them in your ears.
Well, I thought
and they stick out really far.
They look like, you know, quarters. Like someone put a quarter in your ear with it, but it's
pogs. Buster wrote about pogs.
Yeah, if you're old enough to get that.
What's
reference.
A pog?
A pog is like this game that people used to play a long time ago, and there was like these like large discs with characters on them, and you'd buy it. So they're all white. They have that same sleek AirPods inspired design, let us say, and they're touch and voice enabled. So they have like these giant touch sensitive areas on the earbuds, and you can use those to control music and swipe through your music and stuff. So they have to be kind of large, I think, so that you can have interactions with them with your fingers. 8-hour battery life, up to 24 hours with a charging case, and built-in dictation and real-time translations. They were giving an example of someone speaking in a different language and it was translating into English in real time. We'll see how well that works. And then, of course, the big one, and I love it when they bring this stuff in, the tight integration with Microsoft Office, because you know you're going to want to have that. You know, that's a killer feature. The kids can't wait. Oh, right. The college kids, they won't even consider your earbuds without tight integration with PowerPoint. and then there's the design, just that design, which I referenced earlier. It looks like a plug of some kind. A plug that doesn't go in your top. Let's just put it that way.
I don't actually think they look that bad. I mean, it looks very sci-fi, right? I mean, it looks like something you'd see in a sci-fi movie.
Right.
You're darn tooting about that.
You know?
True.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people complain because it's new. So people complain about AirPods now. You know, everyone's got a pair of AirPods. No one's complaining about how they look goofy anymore. They don't look goofy.
Okay.
I think the same thing is going to happen with this. I don't think it's going to look that goofy. And you know who's not happy about it? Will I Am.
Why is that?
Because apparently he came out with a pair of earphones a couple of years ago that were very similar, that look almost exactly the same. So he's talking about they ripped him off.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, oh, by stealing the circle.
Right.
They do look interesting, I will say, and I make fun of the shape, but I'm intrigued. I want to see how well they work. I want to see how they sound. And as far as earpods go, they look just as goofy as anything else that's out there. I mean, unfortunately, the state of all wireless earbuds just look goofy. I haven't seen any that don't look goofy yet, because they have to cram a bunch of tech into a tiny thing that hangs out of your ear.
Right.
And there's only so much space to do that with. Okay. Moving on to the grand finale, the Surface Neo and the Surface Duo. So the Surface Neo is a folding tablet computer. So it has a hinge down the middle. It has a screen on the left, a screen on the right. It opens and closes just like a butterfly would, right? Very super sleek design, polished design. I have to give it to Windows industrial designers. They're creating some very beautiful hardware. I think that there's still some problems with the software integration. I don't think that software is integrated as tightly with their hardware as well as Apple does it yet, but it seems like they're heading that direction. And the hardware is undeniably beautiful. Both these devices are going to be launching holiday 2020, so not for a long time. Let's see here. Dual folding screens, I already mentioned that, with a focus on flow. So by that, I mean moving apps from screen to screen and the interactions of moving apps and interactions from screen to screen. There's a whole interaction language that has to be created, and I think Microsoft is in the process of figuring out what that language is. They don't exactly know how these things are going to be used by developers, but they had some great demos. So the stuff I saw, it gave you a practical glimpse into this technology, and I can definitely see it being useful. The Neo is the larger version, as I mentioned. It's like the tablet version. It's running Windows 10 hybrid OS. It's like a folding tablet. Neo features a magnetic keyboard, which when placed over the lower screen, so if you have the one screen up and one screen down, it turns part of that screen into a supercharged touch bar, which was really cool in the demo they gave. And then you could slide the keyboard up and it turns the bottom part of the bottom screen into like a touchpad. So there's all this cool innovation that's built in. The Duo is basically a phablet style phone. It's really large. A phablet. You never heard that term before?
Phablet? I've never heard phablet. That sounds like a, it's just like a small, chunky child.
And they're going to put it on the treadmill, and by 2020 holiday, it's going to be a phablet. You know? Yeah, you know, it's got some work to do. And it's got a built-in phone. And actually, this was the genius of this design, is the phone is an afterthought. Because let's face it, who makes phone calls anymore on their actual phone? It's not a phone anymore. It's a personal computer, a personal pocket computer that has a phone built in. I avoid talking on the phone at all costs. I hate talking on the phone. One of the most features I use the most on my iPhone now is the voicemail dictation feature. I just let it go to voicemail, and then I just read what the person had to say.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like, why am I? I have like this aversion to actually speaking to people on my phone.
Everyone does.
A series of press one to continue.
Oh gosh,
so
that's
many of those
like
messages.
Half of my
God,
voicemail messages
stops.
Now. Yeah, thank God for that new iOS 13 feature that just lets you silence unknown callers. that's one of the best iOS features ever added, especially these
days. I need
days.
To take advantage of that.
You haven't turned it on?
Thanks for reminding me.
It's great.
Me.
Yeah, you definitely should. And it's really smart, too. So, like, if you call somebody or you're texting with somebody or emailing with someone and their number is included in that interaction, then they can get through. So it's really intelligent on how it blocks calls. But if it's just a call that it doesn't recognize, it just sends them straight to voicemail. And then you get to hear, press 2 to be removed from this list. Of course, that will never actually happen. Let's see here. Okay, oh, this is another interesting bit. The Surface Duo, the phone, runs on Android. This is Microsoft's first Android phone. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is interesting.
And Microsoft's being really smart. I mean, they killed their Windows phone OS, and now they're integrating with Android. It was really funny. I was listening to an interview with Panos Panay, and they were asking him why he chose Android, and he was going through why. And I was like, what do you mean why? It's the only option there is. You either have iOS or you have Android, right? Like, what other option is there? If you're not going to build your own OS, then you have to use Android. That's kind of what you have to do. That's why they chose it. But then there's also the huge library of apps available to you and stuff.
Right.
And both of these devices, check them out online. Very beautiful, super polished.
It's weird for it, Microsoft, but you know, Microsoft's a software company. I mean, there must be some people, you know, isn't Bill Gates rolling over in his bed? It's because he's not dead yet, but you know, it's you know, it'd be like Apple doing it, wouldn't it? You know, like they've been, you know, they've built the whole company on software, and now they're using someone else's software. It seems to be really, I don't know, it seems kind of monumental to me.
I think you're right. I don't think that's an understatement. They have a really talented industrial design team. Yeah. I don't think they're quite as tight as Apple's is. Well, they're definitely not as tight as Apple's team is, but they're creating some really beautiful products. Their hardware, their Xboxes work well, they're beautiful. Their gaming controllers, beautiful, work well. And the hardware that they do make is really beautiful and functional.
Yeah.
Again, where the weakness is, I think, is in the relationship between the hardware and the software, the custom interactions that Apple's able to have, Microsoft hasn't nailed those interactions yet. Like, there seems to be a disconnect between the team making the hardware and the team making the software. So they've got a ways to go there. But as far as just the way the product looks, I don't think that you can argue Microsoft is making some of the best looking tablets, some of the best looking phones now with these two introductions that are being made. They're doing a really good job hardware wise. We'll see how these actually work. That's always my caveat. We got to see how they work, right? You can make anything look good and then you go to use it and it just doesn't live up to the promise. That's where the meat and potatoes are.
They've been, you know, these folding things, they've been, this goes back, what was it called? Was it, what's the name of that? That mock-up
the
they had?
The Cordial? Is that what it was called?
Was that Cortana or something?
Well, the Cortana is their Siri, but they had a prototype version of this dual-screen design, I think, years ago, and it didn't pan out.
Yeah, they've been looking to build this for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's it almost looks like the Apple Knowledge Navigator. Right. Is that what that thing was called? Boy, if you want to see a great Apple commercial, Google the Knowledge Navigator. That was one of their best. And it's funny that this device kind of looks like that vision of the future where we kind of hit this this sci-fi realm of technology. I think it's cool, man. We all benefit when companies compete, and it's just good to see. Microsoft is clearly experimenting. They're not totally sure, I think, that this stuff is going to work, but they're being brave and they're tinkering. And the only way to know if something is going to work is to try it, right? You gotta go through some iterations and just see what happens.
Right. Yep.
So I think it's cool that Microsoft is doing this, and I'm definitely curious in trying out the Surface Neo and the Surface Duo at the very least, and also pop a couple of those sweet ass Surface earbuds in my ears and walk around and have everyone look at me like I'm an alien.
Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. One thing. Can I do a quick shout out to a listener?
Oh, man. I totally forgot about this.
Yeah. So, you know, last week we were talking about the different lenses on the new iPhone 11. And I was saying, oh, I never use the telephoto lens. Sort of disappointed with it. And I got a tip from one of my wife's colleagues, Raymond. And he said that, you know, you should be really using the telephoto lens for taking portraits.
Why?
Well, because it doesn't distort the face. You get you get no distortion. So you zoom in on the face using the telephoto lens, and you'll get a better picture. Apparently,
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with him on that. You do get distortion. You get compression distortion. It's a different kind.
Well, it depends
of distortion.
How far away you are, right? I mean, but shouldn't you be using the telephoto lens for portraits?
It depends. It depends if you like that look or not. I prefer to like the look of the wide angle lens. Now, the wide angle lens in this camera or in this iPhone is a little bit extreme, so you might not want to use this for faces. But typically, wide angle lenses I think are more flattering for faces. But you know. You can go either way.
Okay. Well, it was new to me, and I was like, huh, I'm going to have to give that a try. So thanks a lot for that tip, Raymond.
Well, what was the guy's name?
Raymond.
Okay, because I have a shout-out, too, and you just reminded me, and I'm so happy that you reminded me. I want to give a very enthusiastic shout-out to Sean, who shot me a tweet this week, and he said, I know you guys probably hear this all the time, but I have been listening since day one. Numero uno, Leander. Is it not too much for me to get a shout out on the podcast? And I said, you got it, Sean. I got a very enthusiastic baby lined up just for you, Sean. And I don't think we actually have that many day one listeners left. Most of them, they got to episode 5 or 10 and they peaced out. They're like, I've had enough of this show. So you're clearly a masochist. We like that about you. So don't ever leave. Please don't ever leave.
That's right.
We need everyone we could get. Okay, with that said, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come reach out to us on Twitter, tell us what you think about the Surface Neo, the Surface Duo. We're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N. Leader is at L. Kane. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute alpha conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. We should do an episode where we just talk until we literally can't talk anymore. We'll just see how long.
Well,
we
I'm already at that point.
Without coffee and or beer.
Ooh.
This program is brought to you by Stanford University. Please visit us at stanford.edu.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you today for your commencement from one of the finest universities in the world. Truth be told, I never graduated from college, and this is the closest I've ever gotten to a college graduation. Today, I want to tell you three stories from my life. That's it. No big deal. Just three stories. The first story is about connecting the dots. I dropped out of Reed College after the first 6 months, but then stayed around as a drop-in for another 18 months or so before I really quit. So why'd I drop out? It started before I was born. My biological mother was a young, unwed graduate student, and she decided to put me up for adoption. She felt very strongly that I should be adopted by college graduates, so everything was all set for me to be adopted at birth by a lawyer and his wife. Except that when I popped out, they decided at the last minute that they really wanted a girl. So my parents, who were on a waiting list, got a call in the middle of the night asking, "We've got an unexpected baby boy. Do you want him?" They said, "Of course." My biological mother found out later that my mother had never graduated from college and that my father had never graduated from high school. She refused to sign the final adoption papers. She only relented a few months later when my parents promised that I would go to college. This was the start in my life. And 17 years later, I did go to college. But I naively chose a college that was almost as expensive as Stanford. And all of my working class parents' savings were being spent on my college tuition. After 6 months, I couldn't see the value in it. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and no idea how college was going to help me figure it out. And here I was, spending all of the money my parents had saved their entire life. So I decided to drop out and trust that it would all work out okay. It was pretty scary at the time, but looking back, it was one of the best decisions I ever made. The minute I dropped out, I could stop taking the required classes that didn't interest me and begin dropping in on the ones that looked far more interesting. It wasn't all romantic. I didn't have a dorm room, so I slept on the floor in friends' rooms. I returned Coke bottles for the 5-cent deposits to buy food with. And I would walk the 7 miles across town every Sunday night to get one good meal a week at the Hare Krishna temple. I loved it. And much of what I stumbled into by following my curiosity and intuition turned out to be priceless later on. Let me give you one example. Reed College at that time offered perhaps the best calligraphy instruction in the country. Throughout the campus, every poster, every label on every drawer was beautifully hand calligraphed. Because I had dropped out and didn't have to take the normal classes, I decided to take a calligraphy class to learn how to do this. I learned about serif and sans serif typefaces, about varying the amount of space between different letter combinations, about what makes great typography great. It was beautiful, historical, artistically subtle in a way that science can't capture, and I found it fascinating. None of this had even a hope of any practical application in my life. But 10 years later, when we were designing the first Macintosh computer, it all came back to me. And we designed it all into the Mac. It was the first computer with beautiful typography. If I had never dropped in on that single course in college, the Mac would have never had multiple typefaces or proportionally spaced fonts. And since Windows just copied the Mac, it's likely that no personal computer would have them. If I had never dropped out, I would have never dropped in on that calligraphy class, and personal computers might not have the wonderful typography that they do. Of course, it was impossible to connect the dots looking forward when I was in college, but it was very, very clear looking backwards 10 years later. Again, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. Because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path. And that will make all the difference. My second story is about love and loss. I was lucky. I found what I loved to do early in life. Woz and I started Apple in my parents' garage when I was 20. We worked hard, and in 10 years, Apple had grown from just the two of us in a garage into a $2 billion company with over 4,000 employees. We just released our finest creation, the Macintosh, a year earlier, and I'd just turned 30. And then I got fired. How can you get fired from a company you started? Well, as Apple grew, we hired someone who I thought was very talented to run the company with me. And for the first year or so, things went well. But then our visions of the future began to diverge, and eventually we had a falling out. When we did, our board of directors sided with him. And so at 30, I was out, and very publicly out. What had been the focus of my entire adult life was gone, and it was devastating. I really didn't know what to do for a few months. I felt that I had let the previous generation of entrepreneurs down, that I had dropped the baton as it was being passed to me. I met with David Packard and Bob Noyce and tried to apologize for screwing up so badly. I was a very public failure, and I even thought about running away from the valley. But something slowly began to dawn on me. I still loved what I did. The turn of events at Apple had not changed that one bit. I'd been rejected, but I was still in love. And so I decided to start over. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again, less sure about everything. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. During the next 5 years, I started a company named Next, another company named Pixar, and fell in love with an amazing woman who would become my wife. Pixar went on to create the world's first computer animated feature film, Toy Story, and is now the most successful animation studio in the world. In a remarkable turn of events, Apple bought Next, and I returned to Apple, and the technology we developed at Next is at the heart of Apple's current renaissance. And Laureen and I have a wonderful family together. I'm pretty sure none of this would have happened if I hadn't been fired from Apple. It was awful tasting medicine, but I guess the patient needed it. Sometimes life's going to hit you in the head with a brick. Don't lose faith. I'm convinced that the only thing that kept me going was that I loved what I did. You've got to find what you love. And that is as true for work as it is for your lovers. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking and don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking. Don't settle. My third story is about death. When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." It made an impression on me. And since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a scan at 7:30 in the morning, and it clearly showed a tumor on my pancreas. I didn't even know what a pancreas was. The doctors told me this was almost certainly a type of cancer that is incurable, and that I should expect to live no longer than 3 to 6 months. My doctor advised me to go home and get my affairs in order, which is doctor's code for prepare to die. It means to try and tell your kids everything you thought you'd have the next 10 years to tell them in just a few months. It means to make sure everything is buttoned up so that it will be as easy as possible for your family. It means to say your goodbyes. I live with that diagnosis all day. Later that evening, I had a biopsy where they stuck an endoscope down my throat, through my stomach and into my intestines, put a needle into my pancreas and got a few cells from the tumor. I was sedated, but my wife, who was there, told me that when they viewed the cells under a microscope, the doctor started crying because it turned out to be a very rare form of pancreatic cancer that is curable with surgery. I had the surgery, and thankfully, I'm fine now. This was the closest I've been to facing death, and I hope it's the closest I get for a few more decades. Having lived through it, I can now say this to you with a bit more certainty than when death was a useful but purely intellectual concept. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. When I was young, there was an amazing publication called the Whole Earth Catalog, which was one of the Bibles of my generation. It was created by a fellow named Stuart Brand, not far from here in Menlo Park, and he brought it to life with his poetic touch. This was in the late 60s, before personal computers and desktop publishing, so it was all made with typewriters, scissors, and Polaroid cameras. It was sort of like Google in paperback form 35 years before Google came along. It was idealistic, overflowing with neat tools and great notions. Stuart and his team put out several issues of the Whole Earth Catalog, and then, when it had run its course, they put out a final issue. It was the mid-1970s, and I was your age. On the back cover of their final issue was a photograph of an early morning country road, the kind you might find yourself hitchhiking on if you were so adventurous. Beneath it were the words, "Stay hungry, stay foolish." It was their farewell message as they signed off. Stay hungry, stay foolish. And I have always wished that for myself. And now, as you graduate to begin anew, I wish that for you. Stay hungry, stay foolish. Thank you all very much.